Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. Always a treat to come to the Greensboro congregation, because I've known all of you for many, many years, and it's just good to always see you again. As you know, and well aware, that Thanksgiving has passed for 2008, and of course we will have to wait another full year before this cycle will turn to come around to us again. But I hope that you and your family had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, a time to reflect and to be with friends and family. But I hope that you took some time to reflect back to the promises God made to our forefathers and the blessings we now enjoy in this nation. You are aware that Abraham, our forefather, was God called him his servant, because Abraham was faithful to God. He trusted God. God put him through a test to sacrifice his son. And at the moment that the son was delivered from being sacrificed, God said, "Now I know." God has to test us sometime, but he said, "Now I know." So Abraham finished his test, we could say, with flying colors, because he trusted in God. And I don't know what the thoughts that were going through Abraham's mind at the time, but I always felt that Abraham went to the point that if he had to take his son's life, he knew that God would raise him up again in the resurrection. But it's a time of the year that we celebrating Thanksgiving, and it's a time to give thanks to our Creator for all the blessings. In spite of all the things that are going wrong in our nations and around the world, we still have a lot to be thankful for. There are two little words that mean so much in life to so many people. Those two words are among the most important and appreciated words in any language. Those who do good deeds are often satisfied and very appreciative to hear the words, "Thank you." And some people seldom say thank you for anything, and you have to wonder why and how hard it is that they go through life and never saying thanks to anyone for anything. But I say to you today, brethren, if you have any problems being thankful, just take some time and walk through some of the rest homes that we have in the area. And look at those people seated there, their health problems deteriorating, and the things that they have to go through with. But you are in a situation where you can move about and go different places. But we should be thankful. A loving mate works hard all day at the office or at home. Do we bother to say thanks? Think about how often in the day someone does something or contributes some good deeds towards you. Do you say thanks? What about God? How often He helps us with our needs every day? Do we give thanks to Him? Gratitude is the mother of all virtues. Gratitude is a grateful attitude that inspires other good attitudes. It's hard to have a bad attitude when you are feeling grateful. And I wonder how many CEOs and bank officials of these large companies is giving thanks to God for the bailout packages that Congress is working with. And do they realize that God and His authority is much greater than invested in the lawmaking agency of the nation's capital? He is the great creator, provider, one in whom we live. So let's look at a verse in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We will read verse 28. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. So in Him we live and we move, and God gives us the breath of life, and we have our being. And it's very necessary and constant that we depend on God for our well-being. So if you want a title for the sermon today, it's giving thanks to God always for all things. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. So giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should give thanks to our God, the Creator of all things. For those who have been called, who are endeavoring to be faithful in following God, to them every day should be a day of thanksgiving. When we pray to God in the mornings and the afternoon, during the midday or whatever, all of our prayers should be filled with thanksgiving. And as you go through the book of Psalms, it's very easy to see that David prayed often, but he always gave God thanks for the many things that that God was to him. So the benefits that we receive constantly from God, we should thank Him for those. That is our responsibility. A blessing we have received from God is being chosen by Him as we are His elect. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So Paul stated that God is to be blessed or praised. God has blessed His people throughout the world. He has loved us so much that He shed His blood for our sins. And upon repentance we may have eternal life through Jesus Christ. So what is our responsibility to God for His blessings? To be obedient is one thing. To be obedient to God is our responsibility. Obedient to His laws. Secondly, we should walk in His ways. Romans chapter 12. An admonishment here from Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we have a responsibility here. In verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we go through life serving God, then it's also our responsibility to find out, as we draw closer to Him, what is His will for us? What should we be doing to please God? God has and still given us so much in the way of blessings that is impossible for us to count those. We should be thankful to God for calling us to be one of His elect and opening our eyes to understand His truth. We can never, ever begin to repay God for all of His blessings that He gives to us. David said the thoughts of God toward us are very deep. And he goes on to say, and it's all because He loves us so much that He wants us to know that. So God is always concerned about us, and He wants us to be sure that we know that He loves us. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So how wonderful it is that we can meditate through the day and just think of all the blessings that God gives us every moment of our lives. But God is great, and no matter how insignificant we may feel at times, we all are important to God. So let's look for a moment just how much God cares for us. It will give us a great understanding. Psalm 11. Psalm 11. It just shows us that we should give thanks to God always for all things. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord in His holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. So God the Father, the supreme being, the one who above all, one who is in control of all, the one who knows all, and the one who rules all, look down on the hearts of each individual. God knew you, brethren, before you were ever conceived. We were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, as we read back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. So God looked down on millions and hundreds of millions of people. And for those he left in darkness for a period of time. But you and I, brethren, he chose to open our eyes to the truth. What a blessing that we have here. How much we should thank God for this. By name you were mentioned in the heavens, pronounced before the Father and angelic beings, and they all rejoiced. The scripture says that. We are the ones who have been given the truth at this time. The world is still in darkness, but you are his workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So what others are we talking about? Those who are still in darkness. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So God is described as rich in mercy. The riches of God's grace gave us glorious inheritance. So God is rich in mercy, and his undeserved kindness and acts on the behalf of sinners because of his great love for us. This is, and I should rephrase that, it is our undeserved kindness. We're not deserved of having the kindness from God. But because of his love, the agape love. Agape comes from the word that means to seek the highest good in the one love. Since sinners are spiritually dead toward God, they have nothing to commend them to God. This is why Paul describes his love as being so great. So God's love has three things. God's love has done three things for us. It's made us alive with Christ. It has raised us up with Christ. Seated us with him in heavenly places. So in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we take a comparison here with the skill and the care with which God is forming and finishing us with that master plan, we can use an analogy here of the master potter, the painter, the sculptor, architect, or a diamond cutter. All are truly skillful artists at work on a cherished project. And whatever the analogy that you want to use, brethren, you can be sure of one thing. When God has finished with us, we will be perfect. He's definitely more concerned with each stroke of the brush as he works with us, the delicate touch that he applies to every human, because we are his workmanship. God is very concerned with everything that goes along in our lives. No matter how seemingly small and insignificant it may be, God is concerned about that, because he wants the quality of his final work to be perfect. And when God does something, he does it well. He does it perfect. Jesus describes our destiny as becoming perfect. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So when God has accomplished his will in us, there shall not remain the slightest spot or wrinkle. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. Ephesians 5 and verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So at that time, brethren, we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, filled with the fullness of God. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we can't really comprehend just how interested God is in the events of our life, because it's greater than we can imagine. We can look at ourselves as being pre-shaped stones that God is now molding and shaping to be part of the temple of God. Have a good analogy here that really brings some points out on this thought. Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. It really points out how God is shaping and molding us to fit to be a part of his eternal kingdom. 1 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. And the temple, when it was being built with stones finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Think about that for a moment. I've read some comments where this quarry was as much as 60 miles on a hillside away from the actual location of the temple. But think about what happened at this quarry. It says that there was not a hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. So if you read and study 1 Kings chapter 6, you will see where that all of these stones were shaped at the quarry, as we said. And when they were brought down the mountain to build the temple, they all fit. So I want to use an analogy here. Sometimes if we go through a trial, brethren, I said that we were stones, but if we happen to go through a trial, it's just because God is chipping off the rough edges of our life, so at the end, brethren, we will fit perfectly into His kingdom. So it's not time for us to be shaped after all of this, after God returns. We have to be shaped now. If we are to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God, our shaping and being fashioned is now. And I don't know. I read a little bit more about this morning, because it says in that panels, cedar paneling, was put on the inside of the temple, on the outside of the temple. I don't know how that was fastened. There wasn't any hammers, there wasn't any nails being driven at that point, because the scripture said so. It's interesting to know how those cedar panels were fastened on the inside, and the other thing that we would normally think need to be fastened by nails. Something to think about. But it shows what, even the paneling, all of that was cut to fit. There wasn't any sawing, wasn't any hammering being done. When everything come together, it fit. So if we look at this as God's people, brethren, we are being, at this point, fashioned and molded, so when Christ returned, our place in the kingdom of God, wherever He has designated for us, we will fit there. There won't be any need for any rough edges to be taken off at that time. So a good analogy. When the temple was being built in Solomon's days, each individual stone was fashioned and shaped to fit perfectly, and is brought together and assembled. You see, God's going to assemble His church, and everything will be perfect. We are individually fashioned as God works with us, and we someday will fit in the places that He has designated for us. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and through 22. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with His saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. So all of these things, brethren, we are so grateful to God that He has chose us to be a part of. You who are called and chosen by God are worth much more to Him than you will ever think. And while we are being molded and shaped to be in His highest workmanship, we must have faith and patience. And when trials and tests come about, it's just, you know, God is molding and shaping us. And it may be times when we don't immediately have the answer to all the problems that we have to face in this world. But God knows what we need. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So God is the architect. He knows what shape we need. He knows how to shape each stone to fit perfectly for His overall design. He knows how to knock off the rough edges, how to smooth the stone and polish it, make the whole building fitly framed and joined together for His purpose. So God is all-knowing. Nothing you can do that you can hide from God. Nothing can be kept from Him. Let's notice an example. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We have so much to give thanks to God because sometimes we fail to realize the great God that we serve. We fail to realize how much God cares for us. We fail to understand God's great love that He has for each one of us. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So to illustrate here the omnipotence of God, think about what is involved here. As God actually knew, from animals all the way through the humans, the firstborn of each one, He had to know the birth order of all the animals, of the thousands and thousands of humans. God knew which ones were the first to have come out of the mother's womb for Him to bring this plague upon Egypt, so that Pharaoh's heart would be softened to let the children of Israel go. What a magnificent mind God has. So the world calls for Thanksgiving Day, and most of the time it's used for entertainment, for a ball game, or for other things. Fail to stop and realize just how thankful we should be. God has revealed to us through His Holy Spirit the plan and hope for all mankind. And in the world tomorrow, there will be a feast for all nations. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. And in this mountain of the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice feasts, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well refined wines on the lees. So here we are given a description of a feast that will take place when Christ returns. Psalm 67. Psalm 67. As I said before, David took the opportunity to give God thanks for all of his blessings. Psalm 67, verse 1 through 7, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God, let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless you. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So how thankful we all should be, knowing that a time will soon come, brethren, when all nations of the earth will be thankful to God. All the hustle and bustle will end, and there will actually come a time when all will come together to give God praises and thanks for his goodness. And as we await the return of Jesus Christ, even the creation that he has, things that he has created, earnestly wait for God's return, for Jesus Christ's return. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, Romans 8 and verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So the creation waits for Jesus Christ's return. Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. So now his life, man's life, will be marked by toil and sweat, and then final death. He did not listen to the commands of God. So when we can see when the children of God is raised up in glory, the creation itself, in a glorious sense, shall be delivered into freedom from corruption. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we will actually see, brethren, the creation that God has created will not suffer anymore with the hands of man. And we can see all the destructive things that has been going on in the world that has almost destroyed a lot of the precious things that God has created for our enjoyments. But this deliverance from bondage is not far off. And we should give thanks to God. Certainly God will protect His people, but there is coming a time when we will not have the freedom that we have now. And we should make every moment count. We should give God thanks for the freedom we do have. Because in many countries, third world countries especially, there are places where that you can't, you're not allowed to have any religious literature at all. And I have heard Mr. Baker mention this as he travels in the Asian countries. But there is a scripture in Amos chapter 8 that verifies just what I said. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from earth to east, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So as I've heard many ministers say many times, it's good to remember all the things that we can remember from the scriptures. And this, it should be, the book of God's word should be a part of our life that we can remember these things, because it may come a time in our life that the famine will cut off all of the privilege that we have. And getting the word out. But we should give thanks to God that He has caused us to have this freedom of being able to hear and come together as His people on the Sabbath and rejoice before Him and give thanks and praises before Him for all the things that He has and is doing for us. Yes, we should give thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we said earlier, we mentioned, what is the will of God? Well, this is one of the things that we can add to the list. The will of God is that we give thanks to Him. This does not mean that we are to be on our knees praying every minute of the day, but what it does mean, brethren, that we should be in a prayerful attitude, in an attitude of thankfulness to God. And in the matter of thanksgiving, it means that every day should be a thanksgiving day for God's people. And the reason why is that God gives us so many benefits and blessings beyond our imagination. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your works which you have done, and your thoughts which are toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, there are more than can be numbered. We can never repay God for the things that He is doing for us. But we can be as David, giving thanks always for all things. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Verse 13, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. So the psalmist here vows to give praises to God before the people. And there's many ways that this can be done in public. I mean, we don't need to go around praising God and shouting and saying, oh, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about our actions and our ways and our attitudes that we can portray God's presence in our lives as we go through life and being exposed to different places, even the malls. You know, I thought it was so sad. I'm getting off base here a little bit, but here we had a man's life was taken, and I think this was somewhere in California, in Walmart, because of a pagan holiday. And the doors was open, and this man was in Walmart, and they pushed the door open so forcibly, knocked the man down, and then they just trampled over him till he was dead. Nobody thought anything about the life of the man. Just let me get to this bargain at the other counter. I have to get my goods for Christmas. So I'll just push this gentleman who had waited so long there to be so nice to open the door for me to come in, but I'll just push him down and I'll walk over him, and all of the people behind me will walk over him, and he will die. This is the kind of world, brethren, that we live in. No thanks and appreciation for our brethren. But we can be different. We can be different in a crowd of people. So we know that, as I said, that Thanksgiving has passed, but we should never forget what that day means to you. It should mean faithfulness. It should mean determination. It should mean, brethren, that we will be committed to God's way and that we will give Him thanks for all the things that He is doing for us. First Chronicles chapter 16. Chronicles 16, verse 31 through 34. Verse 31, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. So a day of giving thanks, as I said, should be a continuous day for all of us. The blessings of God that he has given us in spite of the things that we do contrary to him. God will always be with us. As he walks by our side, we should have no fear, for we are his chosen one. So David gives thanks and praises to God for all the marvelous works of life for him and his people. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 again. And let's look at verses 8 through 14. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing a psalm to him. Talk of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember the marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. So we can pause every day of our life, brethren, and meditate, because thankfulness and gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more when we are thankful. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusions to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. These are the attributes of being thankful. So let's make every day a day of thanksgiving. And remember the verse in Psalm 24 in verse 1. The Lord, the earth is the Lord in all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So you belong to God. Let's be thankful to him for all of the things that he has given to us.